Are you ready? You better be, because it's time for Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Folks, are you ready for some acceleration? Because today we are talking about heterogeneous distributed compute architectures, FPGAs, and accelerated computing at the edge with CacheQ CEO Clay Johnson. But first, how about a little news you may have missed? Tiny flying whale robot edition. Now, here on Fish Fry over the years, we have talked about a wide variety of nanorobots. But I think a flying whale nanorobot, that might be a first. So what we're talking about here is some super cool new robotic research coming out of Dartmouth College and City University of Hong Kong. This team has created a new whale-shaped nanorobot specifically designed for drug delivery. So think of it like this. It's a whale-like transformer that has a whale tail and wings that can fold up or down, that can deliver drugs directly into the bloodstream. So this tiny robot, which measures from several millimeters to a couple dozen centimeters, was first 3D printed, and then its tail was covered with a layer of heart cells, or cardiomyocytes. And those wings, they're actually covered with a photosensitive hydrogel. So it's actually those heart cells that cause the tail to move. When the cells move in unison, the tail moves up and down, just like a real whale. This movement propels the robot forward through a liquid environment. And the wings? They extend and give the robot whale nanolift, and will stay extended as long as the device is in a dark environment. But what about that drug delivery part? Well, the key is within the wings. If the hydrogel on the wings is exposed to light, specifically skin-penetrating near-infrared light, it causes the wings to curl. When the wings curl, the lift is reduced, and the nanobot stops moving and releases its drug cargo. So what sets this type of drug delivery nanobot away from the rest of the pack? Well, until now, researchers have struggled to create a nanobot that can start and stop moving on demand. And most existing systems today also depend on temperature variations that are hard to stimulate in the human body. It's the ability to control the motion of this nanobot using light that makes it a much more functional device that can be operated with a much higher level of precision. Researchers from this team claim that this nanobot has an unprecedented controllability and responsiveness as to conduct targeted drug delivery. So researchers on this project are still working to refine the precision of its wings in particular, and are working currently on getting them to function individually. But for now, early research has been quite promising using these little flying whale nanobots in drug delivery, specifically against cancer cells in particular. Zi Chen, assistant professor of engineering at Thayer, one of the leads on this study, puts it like this. We literally dropped drug bombs on cancer cells. The realization of the transformable concept paves a pathway for potential development of next-generation intelligent biohybrid robotic systems. So, if you want even more information about this super cool study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, including a white paper called A Remotely Controlled Transformable Soft Robot Based on Engineered Cardiac Tissue Construct. Super cool. All right, from flying whale nanobots to heterogeneous distributed compute architectures. Oh yeah, that's how we roll on Fish Fry, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome CacheQ CEO Clay Johnson to talk about how CacheQ is helping software developers get a leg up in the world of heterogeneous distributed compute architectures. Let's go. Hi, Clay. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's good to be here.
All right. We are here to talk about CashQ today. But first, for my audience who may not know, what is CashQ all about? And what was the inspiration behind CashQ?
All right. So my business partner and I have been researching and developing products in the compute space for many, many years. And a number of years ago, it became apparent that processors would no longer deliver the same level of performance increases that they had in the past. And you saw this with Intel acquiring Altera. You saw this with Microsoft starting to use FPGAs. And so what's ironic is that performance demands are steadily increasing, and the traditional technology processors, which was used to address these performance requirements, is slowing down. So what that means is that different technologies are required to improve compute performance. This is across the entire compute space, which could be data center, and it could be edge computer. So these various technologies are things like GPUs, FPGAs, and in some cases, custom parts. And each one of those has a variety of pros and cons, and not any technology will actually address all demands for increased computing performance. So there's a number of companies out there that obviously deliver GPUs and provide FPGAs, but they have comprehensive software tools, but no one is really delivering and developing a vendor-independent heterogeneous acceleration platform that eases the development time. And so that's what we have developed and delivered to our customers. And that's the particular problem we're addressing.
Excellent. Now, Clay, what does your QCC acceleration platform do that other offerings do not?
Okay, so QCC is very similar to GCC, which is a C compiler for processors. But in addition, QCC is a complete development and orchestration platform, which means that it has a comprehensive set of functionality. So what I'll focus on right now is some of the key capabilities. So in addition to just generating executable code, it also enables extensive application analysis and optimization. So to start off with, our platform generates something which we call the CashQ virtual machine. And unlike other platforms, the virtual machine is a complete parallel representation of the user's application. And this is unique in that today most user applications are serial in nature, but the virtual machine is parallel. So the virtual machine is the foundation, and the virtual machine enables all sorts of other capabilities. For example, the virtual machine allows us to automatically partition code across different compute engines. And examples of compute engines could be x86 processors, ARM processors, and FPGAs. So our tool will automatically partition code between an x86 and an FPGA. And it just so happens is that partitioning is a very complex task. And other platforms require that the developer upfront figure out what code has to reside in the processor and what code has to reside in the FPGA, which means they write code specific to the processor and code that runs specifically in the FPGA, which means if they have to make a change, they generally have to make that change in two locations and not one location. The other thing that the QCC platform enables is that everything we do in an FPGA is automatically pipelined. And pipelining is the most important thing to deliver performance in FPGAs. So by generating the virtual machine, our tool actually generates a fully pipelined system, which other systems do not. And then lastly is that the compute implementation in the FPGA must strongly be integrated with a memory subsystem. And the reason for that is that you have to have data delivered to the compute, because if data is not associated or local to the compute, it will impact performance. So our tool automatically integrates the virtual machine or application code with a proprietary memory subsystem that we've implemented in the FPGA. So along with all those features, the QCC also supports dynamic memory size configuration, loop unrolling, application profiling, and resource estimation. All of these capabilities and information is available to the developer before they actually go off and implement the code in the FPGA. So those are just some of the features and capabilities that we offer that other systems that are out there today do not offer.
Cool. So what's next for you guys?
We have delivered our initial release to customers. So at this particular point in time, we are very, very focused on customer success. We're making incremental improvements in our tools. We're taking into account specific requirements from users in terms of additional capabilities. And we're also working with a variety of partners to expand out our ecosystem. So as I've mentioned, so we develop a software platform. We actually don't develop hardware. And so we work with a variety of hardware vendors who offer acceleration platforms, and we integrate our software platform with their hardware platform. So we have a number of hardware platforms that we already support from a number of different vendors, but we're also in contact with several other partners to further expand the hardware platforms in terms of what we support. So moving forward, it's a combination of incremental improvements to our tool, expanding out our partner ecosystem, and then ensuring success for our existing and soon-to-be customers. So it's a very, very exciting time for us because we're filling a big void in the market where there's recognized need.
Excellent. All right, Clay, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a big Giants fan, and recently you went to visit Wrigley Field to see the Cubs play the Giants. So were you nervous about being a Giants fan in Cubs land?
This is an off-the-cuff question. Yes, it is. No, I've done this before. Chicago, Wrigley Field's an absolute great place to watch baseball. The fans there are very nice, very accommodating. Obviously, they're very Chicago Cubs-centric in terms of their cheering, but it's a great place to go watch baseball. In fact, one time I was there, a Cubs fan came up to me and said, "You know what? It's great to have you people here. I've been coming this, I'm a third generation Cub fan. It's just great to see people who love baseball." So it's a great time. Chicago's a great city.
Chicago is a great city, and I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing, Clay. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Clay. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Amelia.
Speaking of accelerating development and FPGAs, if you're looking to design one of those new fangled 5G designs, oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about, then you will know that 5G infrastructure presents daunting challenges on the RF front. We want to put the processing as close to the antenna as possible, and oh my gosh, those standards? Don't get me started. They're evolving so fast that programmability is an absolute must. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called "Avnet and Samtech Enable System-Level Exploration with New RF SoC Kit," I sit down with Matt Brown from Avnet and Matt Burns from Samtech and chat all about the Avnet Zynq UltraScale Plus RF SoC development kit, which brings the power and flexibility of an FPGA-based RF front end to your lab bench. Oh, yes. And you can check out this episode by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. You can't miss it. It's right across the top. Or head on over to YouTube. Keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out our Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 20th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.